quite considerably about the whole funding issue, and, you know, he quite readily says that, you know, we can only cope with that. But, you know, my question is really saying, well, what are we going to achieve by that sort of approach, and whether there is any other initiative that needs to be taken, for instance, going into maybe smaller little contracts with SMEs and things like that, which you need to just give me some sort of foresight into, because at the end of the day, if the capacity doesn't exist and the backlog is accumulating, our net worth of assets is actually going down the road, you know. And that, you know, in a normal business environment, just spells disaster at the end of the day. And I think one needs to just understand that from our perspective, we will continue, and I will certainly continue to fight for more funds. How the actual initiative is taken then in terms of the capacity and the fact that we have got a very good document presented to our portfolio committee last week, which reflects the whole downward trend of civil engineers and technicians and things like that. But there's got to be some innovation that I think has got to come out of the chair, and I don't know whether the SMEs have broken down smaller tenders as opposed to those, you know, big bang type, you know, tenders which have traditionally been taking the big chunk of it is the right way. Or even, you know, going into the car train type initiative possibly and bringing overseas expertise in, which will enhance skills at the end of the day and develop the economy. So, I mean, I just want some reassurance from you that you're not going to say, well, look, that's all we need because that's all we can cope with. Because to me, that's a very short-sighted approach. The second thing relates to something you also touched on, and I picked up in the documentation from the strategic document, which I think is very well done, Road Infrastructure Strategic Framework, which you were talking to. And it's related to the People World Cup in an initiative there. And I think they focus mainly on the demands relating to the congestion, which you just touched briefly on in Cape Town, Durban and Johannesburg. But what I picked up here was there was a task team to be effectively set up. And that thing had to report back no later than the 1st of April 2006 as to how are you going to cope with it. Now, maybe your intelligence sort of services and network is taken care of a little bit here and there. But what was interesting is that they've actually identified bottlenecks which need to be cleared before 2010. And I just wanted you to tell me whether, and to reassure us that those bottlenecks are taking, that are, you know, that are there, are taking, you know, place and someone's dealing with it. I mean, they talked about the steep gradients along the KwaZulu-Natal section of M3, you know, and a whole lot of things. But, you know, I don't want to read them all out to you. So those are the things that I wanted to determine there. And again, just to ask you, who determines those priorities? You know, you've got your condition of road surface and your classification taking place. But at the end of the day, someone's going to say, hang on, that thing's going to be done before that one, you know, in terms of both capacity and money. The common path issue and that district disaster, you know, fund that was set up there, is it not foolhardy to assume that, you know, one is just going to take it out of the insurance claim? Because that will impact on your costs in the future in terms of that. And maybe, you know, since that money has been declared, that you should, you know, consider looking at that. And could you also just brief us what alternative there is now to getting past that messy little slip there, as to whether there's some consideration for forward planning of the bypass of those areas and what's happening there. Then, the last but not least, the also, you know, really normal questions about toll roads and the Sandrail one and private road one. It would be very nice if we actually saw what those things are realizing in terms of, you know, contribution to your income. Not only from the Sandrail run tolls, but also from the private run tolls. To purposely, you know, from my point of view, just to see whether they are meeting their commitments to the concession. And, you know, at the end of the day, you've now considered new tolls in M2, Harting, and M17. And whether they're going to be run by you or you're going to go to the private sector to get them to run them again. Because it does make a comparative difference here. And I think that at the end of the day, we would like to see these things being reduced by virtue of contribution. And maybe that's the route you should go in getting grant funding and using it to do those toll roads, but actually bringing them price right down to, you know, so the actual notice is not doing it. I think I've covered a wide sort of range of things, and maybe this is just a one big bang of a thing.
Type of context in Africa, when we have had a program of developing SMEs now for a number of years. Some successes, some failures. The main challenge as far as the development of the SMEs for us has been the issue around strategy. Unfortunately, it is very, very rife. And to the extent that we have laid charges against certain contractors, etc., for misrepresentation and fraud. And what we do with the SMMEs is that we allocate on our routine road maintenance contracts, 80% of the work must go to SMMEs, of which 90%, that means every 72 rand out of 100 rand must be spent on black companies, 8 rand on white-owned companies, and then the 20 rand we leave with the larger contractors, simply because we don't take any kind of surety from the small contractor, we don't take any kind of insurance out of the small contractor. The small contractor doesn't provide the roadside, etc., for traffic accommodation because those are the expensive items. We don't do any of that, and that's why we allow that sort of 20%. Now, again, like we said, it's a premium we pay. Now, we know that. And as part of this thing, we also spend money on training. And one of the lessons we've learned over there, don't leave the training to the main contractor. Teach it for our eyes. So what we've now changed that is that we will appoint an outside special trainer to come and do the training and then etc. And these are the things that you learn. One of the things that happened out of there, after our small contract development program, the guy was currently building the bridge at Kyman Spot, the new bridge, came onto this program. I said, there are some successes, there are failures as well, as far as this, and we will continue to do that. The next step that we've looked at now is how do we make sure that these guys with a CIDD grading of 6 and 7, the 8s can cope on their own. And we will be, and we just look into some of the legal ramifications, where in our tender documents, we are going to turn around and say that you must join venture with the 6 and the 7. And that's how we developed it. So, but this must be a genuine joint venture, not again this. As I said, the challenge earlier is this issue around funding. But I think we've got a system in place at the agency where we're much more confident in terms of identifying them. So you do this so that a small guy learns on the job and, you know, the big guy can. Now, of course, we know there may be small premiums to pay, but that's fine. That is what we are. We're talking about the developmental, and that's what we're doing. So that is definitely on the ground. As far as the network of the asset is concerned, what we've decided to do in the agency is that, first of all, we have new technology that we're developing and which we will start using later this year. It's concrete-based. It will be constructed manually, labor-based. It doesn't lend itself to the plant, and also we don't have that kind of plant in South Africa. We tend to build, or traditionally, I should say, concrete pavements have been 250 millimeters of thickness. We're going to reduce the thickness to 50 millimeters. The test that we've done, and on another occasion with the members, once that I can come and do a presentation and show you videos of the test in terms of the behavior of this particular material, all developed locally. But the idea was imported from Denmark, used in Holland, actually saw it using something completely different, not for roads. And we said, why can't we use it for roads? And we're working with our universities on that kind of block. So that is how we will make sure. One. Secondly, instead of turning around and saying with the money that we've got that we're going to do a complete rehabilitation, that used to be one of the things that we do, we will buy 10 years, for instance, by doing a mill and replace. So rather than working out, say, the full 400 millimeters or 500 millimeters of the road, we will work the 250 to 300 millimeters of the road from the top. And in that way, we will extend the life of the pavement, and that's how we say that trade that we're going to turn around, yeah? The downside of that may be that the amount of bitumen we're going to use. But with this new technology, concrete, we believe we can manage that. But again, it's an interesting thing, like we were saying earlier, right, about our VRT. the greater resistance is coming in from the engineers, because they escaped. I mean, some of the firms came up and said, yes, and now we can't take the liability for that because if there's a failure, here's a simple answer. Your liability is limited to 2 times the fees you earn. The damage to us as an agency to the public is much greater than the fee that you collect and we'll pay you. We'll take the liability. And that's what we've decided. We will tell you that, because if we don't try it and test it, we're not going to get it. And that's how we're quite, you know, optimistic or cautiously confident that we will turn this thing around. But we're not going to stop looking for more money. That's how I'm going to assure you. We will do that, and again, if the committee wants, we can come and do a presentation to you, specifically on our contribution to the World Cup. That's how we see success. What we've identified is that we'd like to spend 14.2 billion rand. So we're not, you know, we have gone to say that we made presentations and together with the department. As far as the bottlenecks is concerned, there's two things in that, there's a couple of things in the document, but as far as what you were showing, as far as the national road network is concerned, one of the things through the logistics study also which came up is what we're looking at, what we call the operational conditions of the roads, meaning to say your steep gradients and all of that business. That is the responsibility of ours, and that we will make. Now, on the N3, it's simple. We've already identified what we need to do through the De Beers Pass. We've got that in place. And there's a trigger mechanism. It's when the traffic goes to so much that it has to be done. All right? So that will happen. And there's other routes like that we will identify. That's one of the major contributions that the private sector does as far as concession is concerned, because the cost is not coming out of us. It's not coming from us. It's coming directly from the project. Any other bottlenecks we're talking about, especially around the World Cup and that lies squarely in the domain of our municipalities. Because if you look at where the stadia are located, let me get this right. The stadium in Polokwane and the stadium in Nelson has a direct bearing on the national road network. Are we building a bypass? Get to the stadium. There's other connotations that we said. We must be intending that on our budget to check that as part of what we're going to do now. And I mentioned earlier the outspace ones, right? Then of course there's the drag between Joburg and Pretoria, FNB and Loftus, right? That comes in as part of the improvements we're making to the base. Come on, and it's not driven by 2010. The timing is driven by 2010, but not the improvements are not driven by 2010. Other than that, there's no roads which have directly a bearing on us. Although we've looked at the cities, as I said earlier, the 50-kilometer radius. Those things are the bottlenecks that will be of the city, and they will be the main drivers of that. And I think that's where it lies.
In roads in the city falls under your jurisdiction. Like the N2, N1?
No, sir, it doesn't.
Where does it stop? It's
now from? On the N2, if you're coming in, if you're going out this way, if you go over the bridge by the airport, just soon thereafter. So the work that is going on right now, that you see in the N2, is done by the province. From the airport by the bridge, you know where the airport cars are over, right? From there up to, I think, what they call Texas Way, is the province, and then the city. Okay. And then as far as Cameron is concerned, the road has been repaired. We're building a new bridge, etc., with the soil got washed away, etc. I mentioned the contractor earlier. In fact, who's doing it. We're a bit nervous because it hasn't got the necessary full experience, but again, we think we'll manage with the right kind of mentoring that we've received in that, yeah? The insurance claim, and then look, we've insured and we're right. We have tried to get money out of that particular fund, but we've been unsuccessful because we've been told that money is only going to the provinces at night and not to the national road network. So we are a bit lost in terms of who to approach further, and any assistance in that would be, because our premium is a shot up, so that is what happens. You know, This is the most unfortunate. And this is going to help me with the date. We had negotiated a new rate, frankly, for a great to be there. And this thing was going to become a Christmas rate.
December 2006. Yeah. Our board approved the new approval on the 8th of August. And the flood hit that week. So you see, our date was...
That's the unfortunate thing. So, but we will continue, of course. And we're not giving up in terms of... Now, the issue around the corals is that I think the slide just speaks to itself over the, in terms of the contribution that these guys have made in that particular financial year. Like I've said on previous occasions, this is money that we would have had to spend. And in the future years, if there was a slide that I showed you as well, which you've got in your pack, in terms of the expenditure that is going to be incurred by those guys. So yes, they are playing a role in that. Okay, the issue around in terms of getting grant money and that the N17 is funded by us. I didn't put this slide because others reminded me of it today and I completely forgot that we were becoming blase. We've got our second credit rating from Moody's from the international bank. And again, it's similar to the CA rating, the ZA2 rating, and the only thing which stopped us from getting a higher rating is our sovereign rating. So we can't go higher than the sovereign rating. We've already got the approval of our minister to launch what we call a medium-term note program to raise funds on that. And we have now sent the necessary request to the letter to inform the information to the National Treasury. And of course, the letter will go from our minister to his colleague seeking his concurrence in terms of the PFMA. So we're still hoping that this. So yes, we will still use a two-pronged attack, so that's what we want to call it, or approach. The roads that we will fund ourselves, but the roads that we will fund ourselves will genuinely be those which will have perhaps the highest social requirements. And what we believe, the way to go is that for us as an agency to take what we call the construction risk, the earlier risk, because that's where these guys load the projects in that field of it. So we should do that like we're doing on the N17. And I was just sitting, you know, debate the issue in terms of do we concession it out, or do we still keep it within the agency, but the operations is always done, you know, with it being put up to tender. And that would be an interesting scenario for us to look at. Like I've said on previous occasions, we're not married to one particular model. There will always be horses for courses. The Tsitsikala one we fund directly, and we know that we're going to be operating as well, you know, through a tender process of operations will be done. Because that, for instance, we don't think there's been any interest from the private sector. We need to be careful about using the private sector because these guys will always look for the checks to be the threat to us. So we're just going to be vigilant about this.
Thanks,
Sandra, obviously, you manage it, and you keep the roads in good condition. As you say, there are provinces, some provinces who are not doing better than others. That's what you're saying? That's now with enforcement and the centers, and the traffic centers. Those that doesn't manage, that doesn't do better than others. Do one get more accidents there and the conditions of those roads in a worse state? Because obviously one would want to get all provinces on par, all roads in the whole country. Mm-hmm. Is there something about the difference? Your estimate is everywhere when you look at the road pricing, all the big, you know, statistics, but all the big traditional companies. They've always been building on all these years. The estimate is undergoing due assistance, are they grown to the extent where they can also grow to other roads? These are roads in quite large stretches of roads. And they talk about community development. I think the Shepherds were saying nothing more on the social aspect of it. Do communities build roads themselves, especially in the rural areas, where you don't need to build the road, maybe at the city to their buildings, kids are for example. And the people can also make use of different materials. Do they build these roads because of short claims for themselves?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. My question would be with regard to the traffic control center. And I need to ask a question that in there is a traffic control center in Limpopo between Marlow and the Cedar Drive. And I saw the board and that board is written South African National Road Agency. But that road doesn't fall and it's not an N1 road, it's an R road. That's my first question. How are you dealing with that situation? Is it you who are controlling that traffic control center? And another question is with regard to the relationship between Sandral and the Limpopo Provincial Road Agency. I just wanted to find out. There is a road that is being built, R101, between Cotida Trash and Polokwane. It's being upgraded even now. So there is a board there that is written in South African National Road. And I'm not sure because I understand that you are dealing only with the end road. So I just wanted to find out, is that project being sponsored by Sandra, or is it that project sponsored by the Limpopo Provincial Road Agency? Thank you very much.
Okay,
thanks. Bob, just a second, we'll take one. Yeah. Thanks, Chair. Just a short question on the issue of crime on the highway. I know Nandil always says it's not their baby. So would you say that, say, safety and security is being much more than that? Because in my view, it's not. You know, one always sees and sees these ugly things on the highway that take place and people never get caught up with that. And also, what is your relationship between yourself and the SAPS? Do you have any relationship? And on the issue of the truck stops, are you people having difficulty in building more of them? You know, what is the situation? Because if you drive from St. Durban to, I think from Durban, the next one, you'll find that it's in Ladysmith, I think. Then you find this truck, all these trucks along the way, and to me, it's not very safe. And can private companies build truck stops or not? And if they do, who would send the revenue go to? Because you mentioned that you people build them, but they are supposed to be maintained by local municipalities. So if they are built by private companies, who would the revenue go to?
Thanks. Thanks, as far as the road conditions are concerned in the law enforcement, there is not an issue where we will choose one province to have a better road in one province over the other. As I said earlier on, we have a pavement management system, we have this criteria by which we will measure the conditions of the road, and our aim is to make sure that our road conditions are consistent in all of the countries. Don't have that figure, but it's about less than 10% of the accidents on the road which are caused due to road conditions. The rest of it is due to human behavior, etc. and so forth. That is what happens. So law enforcement, and again I'm going to say, I think we should beef up and make sure our RPM works. What can we say? And it varies. The cooperation you get from the different provinces varies. It depends on the HOD, it depends on the head of the guy who looks after the traffic officers,
And there's a whole plethora of things which come into play. Then there's the change, for instance, you know, we've got a very good relationship, say, with the Limpopo province, and that will cover the issues around the traffic control centers. We've agreed with the Limpopo province that, and all of the other places as well, we don't just put in these traffic control centers in one spot which looks after the national road. It doesn't help us. We've got to make sure that it covers the network of roads. It's not an issue of whether it's a provincial road or a municipality's road. How do we safeguard this national asset of ours? So we will always locate it in agreement with the other spheres of government, so our colleagues from the other side. That's where we will locate it. But the law enforcement is the responsibility of those guys because we can't have. What we've done is that the management of those centers, we've outsourced and we pay for the maintenance of it. So the traffic officer is not concerned to see whether the light is working or, you know, the computers are working or all of that business, but he or she is just there to make sure that the law is enforced. That is the way we look at it, yeah? And as far as the SMM is concerned, look, we face many challenges. I've given you an example of this particular contractor who came to our program now building this fairly sophisticated bridges and that, right? We need to have more of those things over there. And part of the challenges that we face is financing for the small contractors. You know, there's a lot being said about, you know, this bank is giving you this, and this government institution. When these contractors go, actually, there's a problem. We need to find better ways of establishing credit lines. You know, you say that the boards that we see are of the big contractors. But what you don't see, and this is where, again, I invite you to come along with us in the road, and we can introduce you to these contractors. And it says 80% of the work that gets subcontracted. Now, you don't see the board which says, you know, Joe Block now is doing this portion of the road or working over there. That's not what you see. Now, one of the things we find is that what the main contractor does, and this really annoys us, he doesn't establish a line of credit for the small guy. All right? Now, we deliberately don't let him pay for the insurance because that could add the cost. But so the guy does his bulk buying, the big guy, and he doesn't pass on the saving onto the small contractor. And there's nothing that we can do about it legally, other than put on a lot of moral pressure on this guy. And some guys are behaving. 6 months down the line, they go back to the neighbors. You need constant monitoring. So what happens with the small guy over there? Tomorrow he goes to another job. Now he's learned how to do the job, but he's got no credit record. So he doesn't get that thing. And we've been, you know, for the last 11 years in our democracy, we've been talking about how do we assist the small business? It's not only the contracting side. And that is one of the things that we find. And where these guys get knocked is when you do pothole replacement, right? Because we know what the price of surface the bitumen is concerned because of what I showed earlier. These guys will get it at a particular price, right? But they bump the price up and tell it they don't again give it. So this poor guy never gets out of the poverty trap. We provided, as I said earlier, the training, etc. Now we've standardized the training in terms of the modules that we've got, you know, for business coming, etc. So, but beyond that, challenge still remains a line of credit. And that's the difficulty we face here. As far as the communities are concerned, in that when we go in, especially when we're doing roads as opposed to the bridges, right, they definitely involve the communities or labor-based, etc. And I don't mean to complain about this, but one of the difficulties we face is, you know, just because we do these things, money from our budget. But yeah, turns around and says, no, you've got to do a full-blown GIA. Why must we do a full-blown GIA when we're fixing up a building? Occasionally we've ignored them, and other times we've behaved. But I'm to assure you that we do use the communities, etc., to build the thing. Again, we'll go through. One of the things that we found, and again on the road that we've done in the records to show this, is that how it improved the quality of the life of the people. We did the Amadiba road, this is more than a year ago, 2 years ago now. And you know, one of the things people said, for the first time, they managed to buy a proper bed for them. That's the kind of stories that you hear. But the same part of this has been, see, that road is now being neglected because we gave it over to the province to maintain, and the road is not being maintained. And that's the other challenges that we face in terms of the maintenance of this. The skills are there now in that area. Because the people have been trained to take on that. It's not that they have to go and get the skills from outside to maintain the road. We just require our colleagues in the other spheres of government to take responsibility to make sure that these things happen. That's as far as the traffic control centers are concerned now, not all the end roads are our roads. What we've got in South Africa is what we call the national routes. The national roads are proclaimed by the Minister of Transport through a process of legislation. So that is, will be the national roads, and that will fall under the ambit of the national roads. Now, a number of these roads have been incorporated into from the provinces. They haven't changed the numbering system yet to an end. That may happen in the future. There's a separate committee within the department that looks after that. But we didn't want to immediately go down and call in the R101 and N101, because that will cause a lot of problems in terms of our maps and all of that. So it's not just a simple exercise of doing that. Yeah? All the roads that fall under the ambit of the National Road Agency are gazetted. There's a gazette to show from where to where, etc., and all of these things. That is what we mean. Now, the R101, when we built the N1 many years ago and became a toll road, the National Road Agency, the then Chief Director Jones, took responsibility for maintaining the R101. That's why you see the board. Now, as part of the traffic control centre, like I said earlier, we work closely with our provinces and we agree as to where to build it. So we will spend money building it, but the running of it and the operations of it must be done by the provinces, like I said earlier, as far as the that is concerned on the traffic control centre. Our relationship with our colleagues from the Limpopo Road Agency is again one where we assist each other, especially in terms of not financial resources, but planning. We work together in terms of planning. We work together in terms of helping each other in managing projects. That's an ongoing. But it's not only with them. That happens with a number of our provinces as well. And again, you know, some provinces like our assistant, others don't. That's just the nature. Now the issue around crime is a big problem. A couple of months ago, we again had a very, very nasty incident taking place on the north coast. We have a working relationship with the police, and it is more based on an incident. I mean, you know, we meet with the police very regularly, etc. We can't always provide the food. To the extent that it's becoming so bad that you seriously, seriously consider it, maybe we need to extend camera from our way. You know, the extent of this is going to be huge. I don't know what else to say about that. I didn't even know that. It's terrible. I come up as far as that's concerned. Now, when the truck stops, first of all, the reason you see, especially on the N3, you come with any day around about 11 o'clock. And I'll show you how they park around the plaza. If the truck is on north, one, there are facilities around. Harry Smith is a huge facility as well. They don't want to pay for the safety of it. Then the other thing is that you find, like we did in Windsor, right, one of the lessons we learned in Windsor. We put up a truck center because they wouldn't allow the sex workers to come into this area. They stopped using the truck center. This is a fact. So we had a new arrangement now, right? If the sex worker comes in the truck with them into the facility, fine. And we're not going to allow solicitation in the entry to the facility. But these are kind of social issues that we face. And this is the problem. With the trucking industry. Now the unions are working very hard to try and deal with the issues, especially around agents. along the road in a number of places there are these what we call wellness clinics, which will, you know, educate the set and all of those around it. That's mainly done by the Road Trains Association. Our role in that has been over the years that we will provide you with the sites and the connections and then the water and all of that business, because that's what we should provide, but they will then do the management of it. And there were some complications over 2 years ago in terms of how the department not supporting them and then not your organization follow that. But that's a social issue around it. The management of the truck stop, yes, the private sector can go there, and if it's their own, the revenue will go to them. But we've been saying to the municipality system, we want them to manage it, and any revenue which accrues out of it, they can have it, or they can outsource it, but we do not want to be involved in the management of it, because we don't have the capacity to be looking after truck stops around the country. And we also believe that that's a service which has been provided by our local authorities, and that's why they should continue to do that. We will continue to try and work with it, and we're not just giving up on it.
Okay. I'd just like to request something of Brazil, but sorry, it's not working. It's linked up into my, you know, my sort of very broad question. Would it be possible for us as a committee, with your permission, to get a list of projected projects? Because we, in our conception, people like and people asking, when is this road going to be built? When are they going to be coming about this one? You know, Teddy, King Williamstown, etc. We don't seem to have that, you know, projection ahead of us in terms of, you know, your forward plans, you know, other than immediate needs like, you know, the Wild Coast and the course. So that's the first thing. The second thing, you know, and again, you know, if one could look at those pipeline projects in terms of the current constraints and how you prioritize them, so we can get some sort of indication, you know, what to do. And the second thing, which, you know, I think is important, which we all need to have as well, is the details of the status of a lot of the current private partnership tolls. You know, where are they in terms of their concessions? You know, are they about to be DOT, you know, and handed over to you? Because obviously there's going to be an implication again for you once they're coming with an empty extension. But, you know, just to get a feel of what's happening, I don't know whether you'd be happy with that, but, you know, it gives me certainly a lot more satisfaction in knowing, you know, where we're going to with new roads, you know, or upgrading current roads.
From
my side,
I have to think that simple small things. I get lots of complaints from people scrutinize that about, for instance, I got an email last night from someone who's been bothering me. And there's a recent announcement that there's 5 stops in that. There was a magazine in school time. And the total stopping time, the delay time is about 1.5 hours, and just about 1.5 hours. And wondered if this was consistent with, and obviously when there's major repairs and construction by the way, this can be inconvenient. But the point he made was,
definition in the committee we were, Ward will get it from. You can't get the RPMC to function yet. I mean, I don't know if anyone can, but if anyone's going to do it, it's going to have to do this well. The same with interstate cooperation. There are a whole lot of things that came up. It's the truck stop, it's the emergency services issue, it's the overload control issues, it's the RPMC itself, the government statistics about it. You're a very interested party and you've got something to say and contribute to that and to your interest. All that seems to work well. And what you're telling us, and I'm sure it's absolutely right, is that there's some good cooperation here and there, but it depends on an individual and MEP here or head of the department there. I mean, it can't be like that. We've got to get our institutions to work well. And I mean, I think our understanding of the National Department of Transport says of itself correctly. First, you get policy and coordinating departments. And I think we've really got to get it to do that. So it's not fully broken. It's not doing very much other than the very important coordinating role. So I think what I'm taking out of it, and I hope as a committee, part of our report will reflect it. We're not saying to the department that these things are easy, they're not. The constitutional arrangements we've got between intensive spheres and so on, all of those things. But, we've been saying to the minister, I think we've been saying to last year, that October public transport night that he had. I'm sure there's some exciting things to do with coffee days and with lanes and things and kind of thing, but maybe a trip around to some districts, a couple of the big metros and so on, not just in October, but across the year. What are their integrated transport plans? Do they, at a district level, have districts got plans for truck stops? Shouldn't that be something that's put into their integrated transport plan? For instance, how are they looking at incident management? And how does that affect with their costs? The range of things that have come up, and I think that I would like to see the department really be, because a lot of the problems, sometimes it's personality, very often those things, but sometimes it's capacity. Because when I've had a look at a couple of ITTs, so integrated transport plans, the metros are interesting, uneven but interesting. At the municipal, all the municipalities and districts and so on, it's laughable. I'm not sad actually what you see. Mm-hmm. Dreaming of having some international airport down the road for 2010. I mean, that's the integrated council plan. It's kind of Mickey Mouse. And I do think, again, that the department has a lot of responsibility and then also the provincial MEP to be overseen, because that's their job as well. It's not the job of provinces. For the coordination and a framework for these things, so national and provincial. So I think we've got to try, we're spending lots of money, not enough maybe, but we're spending a lot of money on public transport, on transport, on infrastructure and so on. But a lot of it doesn't always take off from it. That's what I've drawn, I think, strongly from what you've said. These are the things we're passing into, and I'm not sure that that's going to be right. That's a kind of comment, but with a question mark at the end, I'd be interested in what your comment is.
Just in answering about the future projects and that, with respect, every year we give you a lot. You know what happens to you, Clarence? It's part of our budget presentation. I will give it to you.
No, but it's not in here. That's what I'm saying. You might re-prioritize. I'm just trying to establish.
No, I understand, but I'm saying, it's readily available.
I think the more specific question is that obviously in a particular constituency area, you will get questions. We're frustrated about this road. When are these potholes, etc.? What are the plans? When are we going to connect these two places? So on. So I think that
I doubt whether there's some comprehensive, because a lot, because part of the perplexity of our thing is not are you beginning, it might not now be hard and fast down, but is there the beginnings of thinking about it? Are you aware that there's an issue here? So it's not necessarily just the whatever hundreds of things that are listed, but even it are certain issues on the horizon. That's a little bit more, so that one can reassure or understand you've really got to now lobby very hard because they haven't noticed that somewhere up there, they haven't noticed that there. I think that's more the question.
The underlying solution.
Yeah, but I mean, and presuming the answer is that you have always been available to supply that through the department or directly through yourself, you've always done that.
Information is then we can pass it on because we've gone to horizon, a 5-year horizon in terms of what we want to do, and that's based on our pavement condition. Then of course when something like happens again and things like climate, we will then shift resources.
Yeah.
So, but that information is available and we do submit it every year to the minister as part of our budget presentation. So let me see. As far as the concessions and contracts are concerned, yeah, we can let you have that information. It's quite easy. The only one which is 7 years old now, 8 years old, would be the Maputo one. All the others are 7 years, earlier stages. You know, the oldest one is 7 or 8 years old. That's what we're saying. And these are 30-year jobs. So, but I can let you have that. Now, as far as the delay time and that is concerned, we try and manage this to the best of our ability. Now, I know public gets very impatient. At most, but what we'd like to see is not to delay longer than about 17 minutes, because then the frustration starts to set in. But we try and keep it to 10 minutes. Now, the fact that there are 5 areas working on that thing, that's simply because of the problems there. If it wasn't for the flood, we would have been out of there already. We would have been out of it. Now, of course, it's extended between George and I, there's simply now the bridge is going to take us. I forget the date, I don't know if you know when we're going to finish the bridge. I can check there what the construction date is for completion date for that. Unfortunately, we get a lot of those kind of complaints as well. Info at NRA, full of them. So we do react to them and explain to them what happened. And we will look at improving our communication.
Are there different contractors working on different parts of it? And is that part of that? And is there coordination between them around the
There is meant to be coordination. But we will look into that.
Okay.
Again. And if they want, they can call us as well. But yeah, we will definitely, as I said, we get a lot of those kind of questions in it, and we understand the frustration. Then, what can I say other than agree with you? What can I say? And I still believe, and we've said it, and I express my personal opinion and not part of the agency. In some parts of our department, I see the improvement that is happening, and one of the results of that was that document. All right? And one of the other results for us directly was the housing network. We still got some resistance from some of our colleagues outside of the department, you know, in our province to do that. But we'll work on it. But that's what I think.
Well, I suppose what you cannot say now, but in an ongoing way, we would appreciate honest communication in the department about areas of frustration so that we are aware. So that we can then also raise the matter appropriately, not necessarily with a great flurry in the public and so on, because that means that we're not trying to grandstand ourselves, but we are concerned where we see a lack of coordination, a lack of, and so, that, yeah, I'm glad you're agreeing, but then also, please be robust in raising concerns, even if they're specific as well. I mean, I think that helps us to understand. Okay. Can we then on this matter thank Nadir and his colleagues and also Maurice for being here. Maurice, by the way, is the chief director of the department responsible for the coordination of public entities calling under the department responsible. So that's his front speech. But I mean, I know you agree with it as well.
Exactly.
Which is so he's the person also, I think, that we and you'll be able to be present in many of these budget hearings as well.
Yes.
Not maybe all of them, I understand, but many of them. Really appreciate that as well. I think that would be good, because then maybe we can interact with you, having heard all of those, maybe have a little session with yourself. What is it that we've heard about? What is it that we've heard about? So that we try to develop a shared perspective on them. Wonderful. Thanks for coming, Morris. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay, we've just got a little bit of housekeeping before we get there, which is a minute. And the committee section is telling us, please be methodical about minutes, which we should.
So we have circulated last week's minutes. Fairly straightforward, I hope. I mean, there were no major decisions and things, other than that we passed our annual report for 2006 with the amendments that we had been proposed. Can I have a proposal and seconder that we accept these minutes of last week? From someone who is there. Seconder, please. Yeah. Yes, you were. Thank you very much. Okay. All right. Thanks very much. Okay.
So we'll see each other next week.